Welcome to Scribe Session. Here, Enquirer Bengals beat writers Joe Reedy and Paul Daner Jr. escort you inside the walls of Paul Brown Stadium to hear the news, analysis, and observations unfolding within the team from those documenting it daily. All with the sidecar of sarcasm and musical interludes you've come to expect. Let's go.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Three
all
is out.
Paul
Daner has scooped it up.
Burst up the middle of the field, look out. Reedy's off to the races.
All right, welcome to a very special Christmas edition of Scribe Session. I am Paul Daner Jr. here with you, as always, with fellow Bengals beat writer Joe Reedy. Joe, how are we doing?
Happy holidays, Paul.
Happy holidays to you and yours.
Not happy Honda days,
no.
Michael Bolton.
No, dear God. Can Christmas please get here and go so we can be done with that commercial?
In fact, don't you have a Michael Bolton Honda days tune all queued up?
No. Don't go away. Don't leave us, people. We do not. We are not going to play. We had our one Michael Bolton moment this season on Scribe Session.
And you notice when we did the Michael Bolton moment, he came back in droves.
He did. I think he was spurned on by us bringing him back to relevancy on the Enquirer Scribe Session podcast, but no, we will not be playing that terrible, awful Honda Days commercial. But you know what? You know that we're a musical people. We like to theme these podcasts for you, and with it being Christmas season. Now, some of you may be listening to this later in the week, so Christmas may have come and gone, but you know we're recording this on Monday night.
Or we have international folks who might be listening to this on Boxing Day.
No, this is true. There are many different options. We cannot forget our international listeners out there. They are out there. But so, of course, we have to make a little Christmas-themed podcast for you. So, we're trying to have happy holidays. I know sometimes on this podcast and some of our Beyond the Stripes with Paul Dockers presented by JoeSpato.com, sometimes it tends to get a little contentious. But you know what? Not today. You know why? The Ramones will tell you why. Merry Christmas, Joe. I don't want to fight tonight. I just want us to have a nice, peaceful podcast where we discuss the Bengals, the state of the team, because what is there not to be happy about these days?
You know these fans, don't you?
Oh, that's true. There's always something not to be happy about. And you know these fans very well. I mean, you have maybe the best avatar of any beat writer. So I feel like in this Christmas edition, we have to give you your proper intro music. We have to give you your proper, so everyone understands what you're bringing to the table. So here's the Joe Reedy entrance song.
You're a foul one, Mr. Grinch. You're a nasty, wasty skunk. Your heart is full of unwashed socks. Your soul is full of gunk, Mr. Grinch. The three words that best describe you are as follows, and I quote, stink, stank, stunk. You're a rotter.
The Grinch is such a great
Mr.
song.
I mean, the
avatar is great, but the song behind it is just fantastic. Stink, stank, stunk. I mean,
which could describe the Vikings on Sunday.
Yeah,
and also the Ravens while we're at it.
Yeah,
and the Dolphins.
And the Dolphins. Yeah, a lot
and
of teams.
Especially the Bills, especially the Bears.
Yeah, there were a lot of teams that stink, stank, stunk on Sunday. My goodness. That Vikings pass defense, really defense as a whole, but specifically the pass defense, horrid. They were horrible. And the thing is, when you are wheeling Sean Prater out there as one of your top corners, as I tweeted that, if you're wheeling Sean Prater out, a guy that couldn't even make the Bengals team coming out of camp, as one of your top corners, you're in a bad way. Of course, some Vikings fan retweeted me back saying, hey, Vikings Nation loves Sean Prater. Well, they shouldn't really be loving much of what's going on in that defense right now. It is bad news.
Well, I mean, Sean Prater suffers an ankle injury. They wheel out Chris Cook, and then Chris Cook just got flambéed by A.J. Green twice. So,
yeah,
Vikings fans, Viking Nation may still love Sean Prater, but the Leslie Frazier countdown clock now at 1 week and counting. Leslie, nice guy. Ton of respect, ton of love for him, but the life's work or onto another team is rapidly starting. And really, when you have Mike Singletary on your squad, that's not a good sign. It's almost like that one actor that ends up on a series and you know 2 or 3 years later it's going. That's kind of Mike Singletary lately.
He will sink any ship that he is on. Well, that was all part of Bengals 42, Vikings 14. The latest Paul Brown Stadium beatdown this season. They've now gone.
You called the 40 burger.
I did in our pregame live stream at 11 o'clock,
which everybody should be catching when we do it,
because it's pretty off the cuff and a little rowdy. You really don't know. We really don't know what's going to happen on those things.
Hell, you don't know what I'm going to do.
I have no idea that you're all of a sudden going to break into Frank Sinatra at the end and start singing "Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas." I'm as shocked as anybody else watching at home is, so I don't know. I highly recommend
tailgaters spinning beer out in the lots.
Yes, it's
grills catching on fire.
Yeah, nobody really knows.
Amanda Rossman, who was behind the camera, just totally stunned.
Yeah, I think we all, anybody within earshot, was definitely stunned. That's for sure. But you know what? It's lovely. We all appreciate it. It makes it fun. But yeah, so on that though. That was my thought. It felt like one of those days where the Bengals hang another 40, Dalton tears up another bad defense. He's been doing it all year. I mean, when they've faced these teams that have these issues defensively, he's done a pretty good job of getting the Bengals into the plays that help them be most efficient and tearing it up when they force Dalton to pass, which has been what most defenses have tried to do this year. Stop the run, make Andy Dalton beat them. And boy, did he ever beat the Vikings. I mean, he made every throw down the field, intermediate, short routes, you know, setting Bernard up on the screen or audibling off to one-on-one to AJ. He made every play. Highest passer rating he's ever had. He throws for 366 with 4 touchdowns and no interceptions. And it was good Andy Day. There's no doubt about that.
It was seal beating Andy.
It was
Andy with the club just beating the baby seals that were the Vikings corners, and
like the true Grinch that you are. Only on our Christmas podcast would you be beating baby seals.
Well, somebody needs furs for the holidays.
Yeah, this is true. You think those gifts of those fur coats just come out of nowhere? No. Animals are beaten, in this particular case, seals. Well, you know what? While we're here, while we're talking about this, the game, the 42-14 beatdown, and animals, it's only fitting that we talk about the real highlight of Sunday's game, which the real highlight of Sunday's game came at halftime.
Yes.
It was dog riding monkeys herding sheep on the field for about 10 minutes of pure bliss. Although the problem being, these dog riding monkeys were really inefficient at actually herding sheep into the cage that was at midfield. But I'll be damned if I didn't really care how good they were at herding, because they were hilarious to watch. They had their little Bengals gear on the monkeys, little Bengals saddle gear. I mean, you just can't draw it up any better than that.
You wonder, though, Paul, what the Vikings must have felt since they came out of the visitor's tunnel. What they must have been thinking is, not only are you trailing 28-7, you just want to warm up the plane right now. But then you see the show that's about to take place, and I mean, you also got to wonder. While the Ravens are coming in this upcoming week, they're no strangers to mascot football here.
Mm-hmm.
Where, damn, can't wait to see if Mr. Red Lake Horse Collar tackles a kid again.
Yeah, yes. Well, we may get mascot football this week, where it tends the little peewee kids come out and play against all the local mascots. You know, Mr. Redlegs, Hooday, Twister, the Cyclone guy, they all get a lot of love.
I think Rosie Redleg gets
Rosie. You know, my favorite, I love Benny the Recycle Bin. Benny the Recycle Bin is my favorite mascot. He literally has trash for hair, Joe. I mean,
You're not a big fan of the Hawksworth blood droplet?
He's just a blob. He's got nothing that makes him unique. Nobody else out there is...
Not to be confused with the Xavier Blue blob.
Yes, that's true. Nobody else is wheeling out trash for hair, okay? And that's why I love Benny, because he's proud of it. He's okay with it. He understands he's got a milk carton on his right ear. That's just part of the deal.
You think Benny does a lot of trash talking to the kids?
Oh, boom! Boom! There it is. Well played. Well played. So anyway, we a bit off tangent here, but the halftime show was absolutely incredible. My favorite, we were walking by Mike Nugent earlier today. I said, Nuge, I have to tell you, you did the funniest thing that I've seen all year at Paul Brown Stadium. Nuge was coming out to warm up for kicks with about 5 minutes left in halftime, and he had to walk right by one of the dog riding monkeys and did a double take. He looked at it once, and then he did a double. Oh my goodness, what is that? Realize, oh my gosh, that is actually a monkey on top of a dog, and said he originally thought it was just one of those frisbee dogs, and then upon closer investigation realized that there was a monkey on top of him. So it was a hilarious reaction. But you know what? This is our Christmas edition. We're talking about the monkeys on top of dogs. Man, did you know, Joe, that there's actually a delightful Christmas song that combines those two subjects, Christmas and monkeys?
I'm scared, Paul.
Well, you should be, because there is one, and it's fantastic. Take a listen.
Guess what that is? Guess what that is? Oh.
Yep, heaven knows, Paul, I've thrown out a lot of song suggestions in the past.
And we've gone with many
yes.
of them. And you know what? I don't care. I'm proud of this one. I'm proud of it. Proud of this Monkey Christmas, because every monkey needs a Christmas song. And Curious George was one of my favorites too. So I'm not afraid to wheel out the Curious George Monkey Christmas song. What a sheer delight. Go out there and play that for all your kids, folks. So we've talked a little bit about recapping what happened on Sunday, but it's time to start looking forward. We've got a bit of a playoff. It's a little more focused now. You know, we've got 2, 3, 4 still in play. The opponents are really where the scenarios start getting crazy. So I guess my gut says Dolphins-Bengals as a 3-6 is probably the most likely of scenarios at this point. That's probably fair, right?
Yeah, because wasn't it in October when we debated on Beyond the Stripes that I picked the Dolphins as the dark horse 6th seed?
I think there was a bit of that. Your predictions have been on point. We opened up the preseason edition, the season preview section of the Inquirer, and you had all your picks for every game in the back. You, from that, have not missed a game as far as wins and losses since the New England game in Week 6. You're trying to run off. It'll be 11 in a row to close the season, and that would give you the exact 11-5 record as well that you predicted.
Joe. Which would be the second straight year I've hit the record.
Slow clap. That's hard to do. In this league, that is hard to do. And if you can get the Buffalo upset of New England and a Bengals win, you will have hit all seeds but one in your prediction of the AFC playoffs. I mean, that I gotta hand it to you. And we're not braggers or boasters around here, but that's pretty awesome. You don't see that every day.
No,
so
I'll
hand it to you on that. So let's move forward here and talk about this. What's your thoughts? How do you think this ends up playing out?
3-6, Bengals Dolphins. Gotta agree with you. Ravens just offensively can't do anything.
Yeah.
It's incredible. Especially since we kind of said after the Ravens won the Super Bowl that offense was going to be the identity of this team, that they have just plummeted as bad as they have. Ray Rice just off the cliff. Couldn't even convert a 4th-and-1. Justin Tucker kicks a 61-yarder to beat Detroit and then misses badly on a 35-yarder. You just...
Yeah.
Kind of figured it wasn't the Ravens' day from there. You know, the Fighting Thads in Foxborough, Bills have played well with Thad Lewis at quarterback.
They've been much better at home, though, this year. They haven't been as good on the road as they've
been. They got the win in Miami.
Yeah.
Week 7 with Thad.
Yeah.
And, you know, did New England get... Is New England back on track after all the flux that they've been in? Or is this one of those where they fired all the bullets in this game and then all of a sudden they're vulnerable to Buffalo in Week 17, where, you know, all of a sudden it's 7:30 on Sunday, are we all dancing in a press box because Bengals win, Indy wins, New England loses, all of a sudden New England's in a 4-5 versus Kansas City, which,
yeah.
You know, all the... Hell, I'll take Kansas City in that game.
Yeah.
I'll couch my bet and do that. And then all of a sudden it's Colts versus whoever the 6th seed is.
Yeah.
Which might be the Dolphins, where all of a sudden...
You're looking at the possibility of having
Bengals,
Indy coming in here for your shot to go to the AFC title game.
Or Dolphins beat the Colts in Week 2 in Indy.
Yeah. Either way, you feel great with Colts or Dolphins coming in here. If you're avoiding the Brady postseason magic, or you're avoiding Manning until the last possible piece of, you know, the last possible moment, you feel, I mean, that is the path of least resistance, without a doubt.
Or if 5-6 wins, Alex Smith and Andy Reid are coming in here.
Right.
Where can they continue to have lightning in a bottle and... Because let's face it, Denver now vulnerable with Von Miller out for the rest of the season with that knee injury. And if you can make, you know, Welker, who knows how he's going to come back. I mean, maybe they got on track last week, but they had 10 days off and they were playing Houston. So
yeah.
it'll be interesting. Still a lot to play for in this last week. Everybody's going and angry because the Patriots got the 4-15, but... It's all about the 6th seed right now, and you want especially 2 games directly impacting it with the top 2 teams, which at the moment are the Ravens and the Dolphins. You want them playing at the same time. You don't want an intrinsical competitive
yeah.
advantage for one, which is why Bengals-Ravens is still staying at 1 to the delight of scribes.
Yes.
But we're still going to have a late night figuring out till about 8:30 exactly what the playoff schedule is and where we're going and what have you.
Yeah, yeah. There's so many. It's crazy this year because the parity on the back end. Look at the NFC. The 49ers could be the 1 or out. next week.
You could conceivably you could conceivably have an 11-5 team not make it. It still can. I mean, the Saints could all of a sudden, with two straight losses,
be
now,
out.
Yeah. Be out of it. Carson Palmer could be in the playoffs. Where could you imagine all the machinations of if it could be a Cardinals-Bengals Super Bowl?
I mean, don't even say such things. That is mind explosion type stuff. I mean, I could not even handle 2 weeks of that storyline. Oh my goodness. Of course, it would be fitting though how little national fanfare was made of his return outside of locally here. It felt like it was hardly
outside
talked
of locally.
About.
It didn't even sell out here.
No. Yeah, that's true.
It was the last blackout.
Yeah.
Bengals fans didn't even want to come to this.
Yeah, it was pretty remarkable how little fanfare it got. But I mean, if you really broke that out, oh my goodness, what we would see. Kind of along these lines, we were talking a little bit about big picture. I want to bring in a conversation we had with Chris Crocker today. Chris Crocker, our always thoughtful Chris Crocker, and will be our guest on Beyond the Stripes next Monday. For our playoff preview edition.
December 30th.
Yeah, December 30th. We moved where we're going to be on Monday again because of the holiday. So 7 o'clock, Moorline Lager House on Monday the 30th with Chris Crocker helping us preview the playoffs and whatever's going on. He was fantastic with us the first time. We had to bring him back because he's going to be great talking about football and playoffs and logistics. A guy, by the way, still without a playoff win and at the back end of his career and anxiously wanting one. We talked to him a little bit today about the concept of holding up the Lombardi Trophy, retirement, and what this season and this team has meant to him and how the expectations around this team have been so different and how it's really kind of helped drive them to the AFC North title. So here's a few minutes of myself and some other reporters with Chris Crocker.
You got to come in feeling good today, though, knowing that whatever happens, you will have the first game here the way you guys have been playing.
You know, I feel good, but I feel a lot better if New England loses.
Yeah.
I really would feel much better if they lose. And, you know, we take care of business this Sunday. I was hoping they lost this weekend. But it's never done. I mean, it's just like, hey, you know, you can't turn your mind off right now. You still have to. You know, we got to get ready for Baltimore. I mean, they're still fighting to get in. I mean, this is not a, you know, it's not going to be a walkthrough. It's not going to be an easy game. It never is when you're playing a divisional opponent. But they're still fighting to get in, and we're still fighting to get a better seed. So.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You guys still have a lot to play for.
Yeah.
Mean, even though you're set in a certain spot, I mean, there's a big difference between 2, 3, and 4.
Yeah, it is. It's a huge difference because, I mean, you know, the 1 and 2 seeds right now are pretty good teams, and so. You know, you want to be sitting as pretty as you possibly can, having to go to either New England or Denver right now.
Aside from getting the home game, does winning a division mean more than getting in as a wild card?
It does because, you know, this is my second time winning a division in my, I don't even know how many years I've been here now, but it's that hard. End of my career, this is only my second time winning a division. So that's, I mean, that's. For me, that says a lot because it's just that—it's that hard to do. And I've been in the AFC North 9 out of my 11 years, and I play these teams a bunch of, you know. And now we're at the top. You know, we're the team that you know, people are trying to catch right now. And that's a good feeling because, you know, we've been chasing Pittsburgh and Baltimore for so long. And they've been so good, you know, and it just feels really good to be at the top. You know, and now it's kind of like we're looking down at everybody else.
When you get into postseasons like this, year after year, when you come back, does it make it harder to retire, quote unquote? You know?
I think it brings up the question every year. You know, are you going to retire? Are you done? You know, and I think it's a little bit of I think the mystery is a little bit of fun. So, you know, I won't say just yet, but. I really am enjoying it, and for me this year, this postseason is really about winning. And when I came back, I mean, that was really the whole goal. I thought that we had a really good shot to make it to the postseason, but it was more than that. I mean, it's about winning now and going far, you know, trying to win it all. But, you know, because just to get here, you know, that was everybody else's expectation. You know, our expectations were to go far, so I'm really looking forward to it.
The mystery is great, but if you could hold up the Lombardi Trophy.
I know.
Would that be, this is the greatest moment, I retire, would that be it for you? Would that be the best way to do it?
I think that's the greatest moment, but you just never know, man. Yeah. I mean, you never know. I mean, you know, I always look at my friends, and obviously a lot of guys I came with now are retired. But to, you know, the better they played, the longer they played. It just seems like, you know, you get it a lot of part of your career, and, you know, they could keep playing great. You know, they just keep on going. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know. I won't say just yet. But holding that Lombardi Trophy, I mean, that's a special feeling, man. I played a long time and just, I mean, God, I ain't even sniffed it. You know, I ain't even seen it, you know, other than in Canton. But
you never won a playoff
game. Yeah, never won a playoff game. It'd just be, you know, I mean, especially how this, you know, the injuries that we've sustained and just how this team is just, I mean, we just still came together and just, you know, I mean, we, you know, how we played, you know, it. Some games weren't pretty. Some games were blowouts. I mean, just how the season is kind of gone. I mean, nobody, I think once we had the injuries we had, nobody really thought we could still make it. At the beginning of the season, obviously everybody thought we had a shot, but you sustain those injuries, you know, people didn't give us a shot. And we still fought through. And it's odd. This year, you know, we won 10 games and we've lost 5, but it seems like because our expectations were so high this year that even to lose 5 games, it felt like we lost 10. I mean, we were like, God, we lose one game, it's like the end of the world, you know. And other seasons hadn't been like that because you would always say, all right, well, you know, we got another game. Let's win the next game. But it was like, you know, that heightened stress of just knowing what we could do as a team. I think that really helped us, you know, and having that feeling when we lost those games, I think that helped us really come together and just, you know, push through the rest of the season.
Croc is so good, and he will be in front of a microphone sometime after he retires, which, as he said, he's going to leave it up in the air as a surprise. And you know why he's probably going to do that? Because he'll probably be able to get another training camp off out of it if he wants to come back next year and do it for 3 years.
Just week four, it's like...
Yeah, yep. Week four is known as Crocker Week, where he comes back in, and we should play some theme music for him. He comes back into the Delight of the Scribes.
Welcome back to that.
Absolutely. And so he's fantastic talking about that. And I thought the stuff about... This year has been different. The way they've played on the field, this is the best they've played at home in any year since the Super Bowl year. They haven't blown people out consistently like this, really, even under Marvin, hardly ever. I mean, you'd really have to go back
30s,
to the five.
Getting 30s regularly. It used to be the brat in the first couple years of Jay. If they went over 30, it should have been like, get a free chalupa at Taco Bell or something.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or free Coney's at Gold Star.
Of course, whatever your your sponsorship association is, we want to break any company lines. That's one of those things where they've been different. And I think what he touched on, that those expectations from the beginning of the year have clearly filtered into sort of the fabric of this team, where they all know that they have the team to do something special. And that has made losses stand out more and really kind of invigorate this team more, because any loss feels like, you said, like the end of the world. And you see that now, where there, more so than any year, there was no sense of accomplishment from what happened on Sunday, from getting into the playoffs and then having the AFC North. Everybody sort of has their eyes on making that playoff run and isn't really afraid to talk about it. Michael Johnson, the last 2 weeks, has been very adamant about, we're going to get in and we're going to wreak havoc in the playoffs, and that's what's going to happen. It just seems to be sort of a known thing. Even the fact that this team has not had a playoff win since 1990 doesn't even resonate with these guys, because these guys are guys that have run off 3 weeks in a row, or 3 years in a row, I'm sorry, of going to the playoffs. I mean, this group, the Dalton Green era, has not known anything except for being in the postseason, and they believe they can win there.
Andrew Hawkins brought up a good point yesterday, and I kind of asked Michael Johnson, because if you even go back to this 09 draft group, fourth playoff trip in 5 years, take away the 2010 disaster, and I mean, still, it's a pretty over 500 group.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, Andrew, AJ, those guys don't know what it used to be like here. Andrew, maybe a little bit, because Artrell played here.
Right.
So he's got a little bit of history and stuff. But AJ, Andy.
Marvin Jones. Marvin Sanu.
Yeah.
Really, all your Gino, all your major players.
Well, Gino and Carlos were here in 10.
Yeah.
And they they had a rough welcome to the NFL year. But due to injuries and stuff, they played a lot too, which is benefited. But that 09 group, how they came in and, you know, in what was an emotional year but still won the division. And the thing that impresses me, and I wrote about it in the game story in Monday's paper, was the last couple of years, Dalton has kind of stumbled into the playoffs with his play. Now he's surging going in. And you're going to get the other home game. You're going to have at least one for your first home playoff game. And they play well on the road the past couple of years. This year, it's just been weird stuff that's happened. I mean, two of their worst games of the year, division games, at Cleveland, at Pittsburgh. But, you know, Chicago losing like they did.
Even winning at Detroit. Buffalo. Yeah, Buffalo madness, yeah.
Baltimore, the fluke play, but that defense played well. Mm-hmm. San Diego was one of those games where you kind of felt like, you know, they're pretty much in control of this, run out the clock and all that and feel well. But, I mean, the Miami, you lose on a safety.
Yeah.
Where you should have won that.
Yeah, when you were the better team that day, except for one that in the pick six just changes everything. It was basically a two-score swing. The Bengals had been cruising. We're going to go in, and all of a sudden it's six the other way, and they end up losing in overtime. I mean, that one bad throw that, to be honest, people say whatever they want to about Andy. He almost never misses that throw. It was an easy little out.
But Tannehill, the last 2 minutes, each half leading down for... Tannehill was mainly controlled until those plays.
Yeah. And we may be really reinvestigating this game and bringing this game back up next week if they do end up coming
in here. Yeah, I don't want a Kevin Coyle defense coming in here.
No, you really don't. So who do you look at when you look at sort of the teams that are possible for them to play? Who do you least want to see? You least want to see, for me, I least want to see either of the division rivals. I really don't want to see Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I agree with you, because if Pittsburgh comes in here, you might as well just call Homeland Security and National Guard. And, I mean, I was here for that 05 game, and after Carson's injury, it got bad in the stands. Yeah. And considering the Huber hit and some of the stuff that's happened since then, and the angst and everything else, that could be an ugly game on and off the field.
You just don't, because the AFC North teams, particularly the Bengals, the Ravens, and the Browns are trying to get to this, obviously, but the Bengals, the Ravens, the Steelers are built the same way. Those powerful, tough defensive up front that just beats you up, you know, that type of style of play. They're all built to beat each other. And you don't want a team coming in here that's built to beat you. And I don't think you would not say that about the Chargers. There's some of that in the Dolphins because Cam Wake and those guys they have up front. But, you know, those other teams are not as much like the North. They are just they're made to beat other North teams. That's how they're constructed for that reason. That's why you don't want to see them come in. Those games are just such grinders always that it's just not one you want to see. They know you too well.
Yeah.
To me, Chargers would be best case scenario. That's going to be a hard one. The Jets are not going to Miami and winning. So, and there's many scenarios that can play out, but it just really feels like if the Bengals take care of business. Yeah, exactly. Please go there and check them. Don't ask on Twitter. Just go. It's all there. You can find it. So I got a little kind of mini game that we can play.
Ooh, is this match of the day music?
Yeah, it's a little match. Let's do it. A little Christmas match of the day. So we're going to play three gifts for three players. Ladies and gentlemen, who doesn't love the British polka? We love freedom back. You've been watching and keeping up with Match of the Day? You've been watching?
Arsenal played Chelsea today, so I haven't seen the final score of that. See if the special one can win at the Emirates today.
Yes. I don't know any of that means. So we've got the music going, so we're going to have to do three gifts to three players. You can give three gifts to any three players that you want to.
Can include coaches in this?
Yes, include coaches if you'd like to. We may have some of the same. I'm not sure, but I'm gonna start off. My first gift is gonna go to Andy Dalton because he has put up with a lot this year. The fans have delivered many lumps of coal to him. I think through some probably through windows of his house. But
as long as there's not trash on the lawn.
Exactly. We don't want that. We don't want a repeat of what happened with number 9. Andy Dalton has had a great season when you look at it as a whole. And all it needs to be viewed as a great season that it was by the numbers is a great playoff game that ends in a win. So I'm giving Andy Dalton a great playoff game that the Bengals end up winning because, let's be honest, he's put up with a lot and he probably deserves it at this point. I mean, if you think about it, I mean, this guy has 31 touchdowns. He's gonna. There's a good chance he could break the franchise mark for touchdown passes in a season. He's almost certainly going to break the yardage mark. He only needs 117, I believe, to break the yardage mark to Carson set. He could very, it looks very possible, he will have put together, by the numbers, the best season by a quarterback in NFL, in Bengals history. Think about that. And now think back to how much he has been hated and criticized and just crushed by this fan base, who's just really struggled to really adopt him and rally around him like they did Carson. For whatever reason, they've been discussed. We're not going to delve into that here. At the very least, you can look back at that and what he's done and say, man, this guy, he deserves the payoff. But there's only one way that payoff comes, and it comes by winning a game and playing well in the playoffs. That's it. Or else, it's only going to get worse. There's going to be a lot riding on how he plays in his playoff game. So that's my first gift. What do you got for one?
I'm giving Mike Zimmer a head coaching job.
Yeah.
One of the two coordinators is going to get a head job this year. Possibly both. Jay Gruden will be favored in a lot of places, and it's an offensive league. They're kind of just talking to people around the league, and I think I'm going to write about this in Game Day for Sunday, is that Jay Gruden's viewed in a lot of circles, kind of like Mike McCoy was last year, kind of the hot guy, went through a tour, knows what it's like now, get him set, and now it's his time. And, you know, I think Jay will get looked at in Houston. I kind of put on Twitter Sunday, imagine what Jay Gruden could do with Cordarrelle Patterson in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Even though talking to some of the Vikings writers, they think they need a more stern taskmaster since Leslie is all Lovey. Lovey and everything, but Zim also deserves a head coaching shot. I think he'd be great in Dallas. He knows what Jerry's like and everything. I think Zim would just be happy being in the corner somewhere and doing his job, and if general manager Jerry wants to do the press conferences, that's fine with Zim.
Yeah.
And he knows what it's like down there and everything, and I think he'd be good for that, but I do think he deserves a shot.
Yeah, and he would be considered. I've used this term splash hire, which is so important to a lot of GMs, a lot of franchises. They want to win that fan base and get people going. And Zim has not really offered that in the past. In Dallas, he would, because he's so respected from the job he did there as a DC. They had the #1 defense in the league for one of the years that he was there. So you're right. I think he would be a great fit there. I get another gift I want to give. I want to give a healthy recovery to Leon Hall. Leon Hall has been one of the absolute good guys. We've talked about him on the podcast before. What happened to him in a year that he knew what was happening, how special the run was, or at least the possibilities were of a run with this team, were wanted to be a part of it. And for a guy his age to see another Achilles injury, it brings a lot of fears of can you come back from two of these. He was unbelievable in his recovery from the first one, and I think everybody in that locker room, because he's a good guy just as a person, on top of being an incredible DB, and you know, that you just root for the best for him. So I want to make sure that I give a new Achilles to Leon Hall, and hopefully this one, hopefully it can hold up and he'll be ready to go by the beginning of training camp. What do you got?
Kind of dovetailed off that, but unfortunately somebody won't be able to unwrap this until March or the summer. The next person who signs a contract extension, a season or two of health, because it is starting... It is starting to be like the black cloud around here that anybody who signs a long-term extension, bad things happen.
Yeah.
Carson was that way. Levi Jones, Willie Anderson, Stacey Andrews under a franchise tag. Lately, Leon's season, he signed his extension, the Achilles. Mm-hmm. And now Geno this year, too. Mm-hmm. You know, if they do get the extension with AJ this year, I think all of us are just holding our breath going, please, please, please. No,
right. Please, yes. Please.
Or Andy or something like that. I mean, I still think they draft a quarterback one way or another, but maybe for backup purposes, just to get that spot solidified and everything. But, whoever the next contract extension is... could be AJ, could be Andy, could be Vontaze Burfict, because this offseason you can negotiate with him and get an extension that way. So, we'll wait and see.
I'm going to sort of break my own rules of this, because I also had a gift for Mike Zimmer. I had the Mike Zimmer head coaching gift, as you did. But I think another one, I want to give a gift to the fans of the Cincinnati Bengals, because I think, Joe, we've discussed the fan base here a little bit.
We playing bad cop, good cop.
We might.
I'm bad cop to the fans. So
yes.
Now you're. It's like
now I'm going to give them gifts.
It's like what you do on the show on Tuesday during the debate. You're trying to pander to the fans again.
You know what I? That is my strength.
Oh,
okay.
Cheap pandering.
I do. I go for the. I go for the cheap pandering and the applause always. Well, I will say this. I think a lot of where the negativity and the waiting for the other shoe to drop comes from, I know where. It comes from the postseason drought. And it doesn't, it's the Reds too. It becomes ingrained of everyone not wanting to believe because they just always have seen it before. And it's been so long since they've experienced the good feeling of winning in the postseason. And I think that can change the culture of at least the Bengals fan base a little bit. And maybe it'll teach the young ones that it's not all bad out there, and they'll grow up to become better fans. Who knows? But I think they just need one or two home playoff wins to really just show them that it doesn't always break your heart at the end. At sometimes it does end up being good. And I think that could go a long way to helping this team and their fans. Even one win.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch.
Now's the time when I get out the kendo stick.
Yeah.
You want suffering. Go 230 miles up north.
Yeah.
You want to learn about suffering. This team won a World Series in night. This city got a World Series in 1990.
Yeah.
Go nearly 50 friggin' years with nothing. Not a thing. Get swept out of the NBA Finals. The drive, the fumble, the shot. Bob freaking Costas in the ninth inning of Game 7 extolling the virtue of Cleveland fans. And Jose Mesa blowing it. These fans haven't suffered. You are suffering.
I don't want suffering. Although, if it's going to be that entertaining,
I'm fine. Your hometown hero stab you in the back to go to South Beach.
It's a factory of sadness, Joe.
That's suffering.
that is suffering.
Cincy right. fans don't know suffering. Cincy fans deep down want their teams to fail.
Yeah.
Because they don't. Did you ever watch Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
No, I did not.
There was a scene where for one, a split second, because it was a gypsy curse, the vampire felt true happiness for just a second and completely crumbled. Where I feel that Cincy fans are kind of like that. That they experienced pure bliss for a second. They won't know how to handle it.
Yeah.
UC Medical Center, Christ Hospital, St. Elizabeth's might be overflowing. I mean, how many... You remember 2012 when this team was up by such a big margin that if the Cardinals won a game in August, fans were ready to jump off the Roebling.
Yeah.
And I mean, with Bengals fans, I do get it to a certain aspect. I came out in 2011. I bashed this franchise for a whole 8 months during the lockout. I think I called it the worst offseason in professional sports history with everything that happened.
Yeah.
The opening training camp practice started under a deluge, which I called poetic karma, which Marvin didn't let me forget about that one for quite a long time.
Yeah, I understand.
I could get why there were the 40,000 crowds in 2011. Even in December, when this team was doing well. I don't get why it took until Friday at 4 o'clock this past week, and why it might take until Friday at 4 o'clock this week to get an extension for a team that's 10-5 at home and has won 8 straight home games dating back into the regular season. Where it's like, okay, we've been down this road in 05. We've been down this road in 09. Are we going down the same road in 13? We've always said it's a referendum to get it to this point.
Yeah.
And of course, I'm sorry, Paul, that it now it's kind of like, look at, I got the puppy and it's now.
Well, I think, you know what, Joe, that was such a delightful rant. I'm just going to go ahead and, yeah, let's bring it back in. Joe's theme music, everybody. The Grinch is with us. Go ahead and continue.
You have all the tender sweetness of a seasick crocodile, Mr. Grinch. Given the choice between the two of you, I'd take the seasick crocodile.
Yeah, we have to. You earned it. You earned your theme music today. That was a delightful rant. I didn't know that was coming. I didn't realize that you were going to quite so aggressive with that. I agree with a lot of what you're saying. I mean, I see a lot of what you're saying. Football games and tickets in December are weird because games are cold and people don't want to go. And the DirecTV and the home theater system, all that stuff keeps you from going down to the game. I don't necessarily think that tickets show that fans aren't into it or invested. Just because they're not going to the game doesn't mean they're not.
But if there's any place that deserves blackouts in December, it's Cleveland.
Right.
And they haven't had blackouts since the team returned.
Comparing anybody to the Browns fan base is unfair. The Browns fan base is admittedly unique. Very unique, dedicated, special. I think comparing a lot of fan bases around the league, I would say they may be the most loyal. If they're not, they're in the top three of any and all of the NFL. I don't know that it's fair to think that this base should think that that's how they're going to be to aspire to that, or think that as a realistic goal. You know, I just don't know that that's the way it is here. Right. It's just different for whatever reason. But you know, this is a team and a franchise that.
This city can carry grudges. Look at how many years post Hugs it took until they embraced Mick. So
yeah. Yeah, you're right. I mean, that's very true. But I don't know if not selling out these games or having them already sold out is indicative of grudge holding or non-believing. I think that is out there. But I don't know that that is the primary indicator, just because that's an NFL problem. I mean, in my opinion, in a lot of ways, that's an NFL problem that they're trying to fix, is how to get people to want to come to stadiums, particularly in December. When the product is at its highest moment on the field, it's the hardest to want to go and take in at the stadium. It's much better seen on your big screen with your heat on. And I think that's a bigger part of the issue than a lot of things. But I think there is a lot of truth in what you're saying. I'm just saying I don't know that the tickets are the biggest indicator.
Which being as though I have one gift left.
Oh, you do have a gift left. Are we gonna give you some Prozac after this?
Which I thought that going back to the Ramones, we weren't supposed to fight.
Yeah, we weren't. And then I mean we just didn't listen to the Ramones.
I'm actually giving a gift to Marvin Lewis.
Wow. Is it a lump of coal?
No. I'm getting Marvin Lewis a giant cutout of Susan Lucci.
Oh boy.
So, that it can serve as a reminder for the next 2 weeks of what he's trying to aspire to, which is finally, hopefully, get that Emmy, which is a first playoff win.
Mm-hmm.
And also, so that when he does get that playoff win, he can stake that giant Susan Lucci cutout and bash me over the head with that. Which, leading into that, Paul, let's go on to this week's Reedy Railroad.
Oh, yeah, this week's Reedy Railroad. Let's do it. It's railroad time. So you were railroaded again this week. This time it was in the post-game press conference where we saw this exchange occur, where Joe is just trying to give a little soft puppy, hey, Marvin, you made the playoffs. Isn't that grand? And the response came quite like this.
It's final. What does it mean for the franchise? First time, three consecutive playoff series.
Well, I didn't know. What happened?
Buffalo won 19-0.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. So
you're officially in.
Yeah. See, you know more than I do all the time. I tell you guys. I don't really worry, I have to tell you. You think I keep telling you guys, I don't really care about anybody else. I just care about us. And that's what matters. And that's good.
You've been railroaded worse. I will say that. But it was clearly taking a very easy little puppy and bashing it over the head for no reason. because it's you.
It's almost like Marvin. It's almost like somebody gave him the puppy and he just threw it out on the freeway.
Mm-hmm. That was beautiful. The run continues. I mean, wouldn't be a podcast if we didn't have the Reedy Railroad. So we've got one more week of the regular season. Of course, Scribe Session will continue every week throughout the playoffs. Then after that, we haven't really quite decided how it's going to go from the off season, but we will continue doing podcasts through the off season.
Are we going to have a Best of Scribe Session podcast?
We could. We could go back in through the files and break out all the best of moments. I think your rant would probably, from that, would just make it on there. That's probably got a place.
That came from a deep place.
A very deep, dark, awful place. I need a shower. But yeah, we'll have that all through the rest of the season. Keep checking us out. Of course, every Tuesday, Scribe Session comes to you. We usually have them posted in the morning, and they come right to your phone. Make sure you have the app. Just go to your app store, get any free podcasting app, search Inquirer Scribe Session.
Folks have the podcasting app on the phone.
Absolutely they do. Listen, my parents can get the app and get it working instantly. You can too.
Which I got them a nice gift now that they can enjoy the podcasting app.
If our folks are doing it, then you can do it. So make sure you go get it. Just hit subscribe and it'll come right to your phone. You can listen to it in your car, on the way to work, whatever you want to do. And of course, Beyond the Stripes continues. We plugged that earlier. Next Monday at 7 o'clock, we'll have Chris Crocker previewing the playoffs at Moorline Lagerhouse. Make sure you come down. And of course, Cincinnati.com, all the places where you can go and get all the information.
But we need to leave on an upbeat note.
That's right. We got a little angry.
It's the holidays.
It is the holidays.
You know what? Maybe a little Vince Guaraldi trio. You think Christmas time is here.
Yeah, very soothing.
You think back to Peanuts. You think of Snoopy and Woodstock ice skating. Mm-hmm. You think of Charlie Brown and the tree.
Yeah.
Which, if I could give that tree to Marvin, Marvin would just start bashing me over the head with it.
But it is a beautiful song, and it's
puts
Christmas
us in
time.
A happy place.
Put us in a happy place. You know what? I also would like to give a gift to the listeners of Scribe Session, our podcast, because we love you. We love the people that are die hard to listen to this, and we have fun with it, and we hope you have fun listening to it. So Merry Christmas to all of you. We thank all of you for joining us this season. We hope it goes on for quite a bit longer. So remember, every Tuesday, Scribe Session podcast comes back to you. So have a Merry Christmas, everybody.
Good night, everyone.